asking for light from God, we will quieten to continue our services. And I will read from the first epistle of John, from the first chapter, verses 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. We are living in the time of the year when it is the most light, when it is said that here in Pudasarvi at this airport, there are a lot of people who are living, dwelling in the light. And the sun doesn't set for very long. There is much light even in our natural life. But there are also many who are in the light of the Word of God. Our text, the writer of our text, John, in his time, had been a disciple of the Redeemer or Savior. He was taught by him, and he spoke of this and wrote of this. And before this part of the text that we read, it was written of the Word of Life. And this Word of Life is what John spoke of for us to learn of. And in the beginning of the Epistle of John, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was this Word. And the Word became fleshed and lived, dwelt in us, in our midst. That light, and that light which is spoken of here, it is also through the Holy Word of God in our midst. In the beginning of these summer services, heard through the brother how the position of the Word of God in our society and also in our dear church has become thinner or weaker. And I think that we people, and many, have a desire to build things on their own understanding and own opinions. They want to like form a filter so that it would prevent that word, which does not really fit in the life of a man. And we can see that we can see that much of this light that is meant to be part of our lives is wanted to be filtered out, so that we could just take that part from the Word of God and accept that part that would not feel bad or would not admonish us, would not, that which would not make us think about ourselves and our relation to other people and our relation with God. And we can ask ourselves also that in God's word, is there such that we would want to filter out? And we would hope that in the sermon, is there something that we would hope that in these services wouldn't be spoken of, so that I would not feel discomfort in my own life? But it is said here that God is the light. And there is no darkness in Him. God wants that His word could still shine brightly. The light of God's word, according to the teachings of Jesus, also came close to His own disciples. In even us, in the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus taught that you are the light of the world, and that city, or he continues, that a candle cannot be lit and put under a cover, but it needs to be put on a candlestick so that it could light up everyone in the room. And that city which is on the mount cannot be hidden. When we, according to the word of God, have kept forth this light of the word of God, have let it shine, it makes us think that what kind of light am I in to my friends or to those who live close to me in my home? How is the light of God shining in my home? In Christianity, we work much with the youth and the young children, and this is a great blessing and gift from God. But the responsibility in the home that we have cannot be forgotten. We easily want to give the responsibility to someone else, this teaching of the Word of God. We want to put the responsibility onto those who are working with the children, and we want to put the responsibility on preachers and others, and we forget that we are responsible ourselves. But Christianity begins in the home, as we have been taught, and as it is based on the Word of God. Our task is, according to this text, to carry forth this light. And as we heard through our brother, we are mission letters there, wherever we are. Through the prophet, it is said. For that reason, God has put you in the midst of the pagans, that they, through you, would learn to know and know the living God. And there are surely those here, those children of God here in these services who have been introduced to this living kingdom of God through someone who lives near them or through some individual who has wanted to bring this light into the midst of people. We have all been given this task as children of God. It is said in the Bible, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It was spoken here of making the journey. It is traveling towards a destination. It is not just wandering without any destination, but it is a journey towards that great inheritance which God has prepared for all the people that He has created. But we can only attain this through faith. We want to become part of this light and part of this kingdom of light. The apostle has written that God has removed people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son through the light, through the gospel. In the world, there is this power of darkness. But in the kingdom, there's this kingdom of light of the dear Son. But one cannot live in light and darkness at the same time. And as it is said, if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. Many would want to live in this light, but life and works may be such that they do not spring forth from the life and the heart of a child of God. And in this text it says we betray ourselves and the truth is not in us. We can ask, is this matter such a black and white thing that we cannot live in this world as the world lives and also be in the midst of the children of God as a child of God? And God's word instructs us, as this text also speaks of this matter, that we have to put away the acts of darkness so that we can travel in the light. And then there is a very central matter in this text that we read, when it says, we have fellowship one with another. We are here at this service site, and we have been able to see many small, happy groups. Children of God have met each other and have rejoiced when they have met each other and felt togetherness, and they have felt that our faith unites us. And this is a great gift of God. These people who make journey close to us. And in one book of the Bible it is said, a faithful friend is a security in our life. And he who fears the Lord will receive this type of friend. But as people, we are different. It can be that here at this service site, in this tent, there may be a listener who experiences or feels that I don't have any close friend, that this unity with other children of God has not been fulfilled. There may be someone who feels that their nature is such that he is hard to connect with others. One boy wanted to arrange a birthday party in his home, and he told his parents that so many friends will be coming to my birthday party that they won't all be able to come on one day. We have to have a party on two different days. Not everyone is like this boy, and not everyone experienced that it is so easy to have friends and get friends. Yeah. But someone may experience this loneliness so strongly that they have not had the courage to come to these services because they feel that I will have to be by myself there. I don't have a close friend to be with. And it may be that someone is ill or the situation, they are living such a situation that they are not able to come to the services or may feel that. There may be someone who feels in their own home, thinks that I am forgotten here. It is not possible for me to be there with the other believers, and someone may feel that even God has forgotten me. I know that there are many who have gifts and have strength and the desire to go and visit those who for one reason or another are bound to their homes. But I'm sure there are many along with me who feel that we are quite slow to go and, like me, many of you may feel that you are slow in trying to connect with other people, make contacts. But even in this matter, we can think that even though we may have forgotten someone, then we know that God has not forgotten or God has not lost anyone. In the book of Isaiah, it says very beautifully, "You, whose hand I want to attach to, who I brought from the ends of the earth and who called from the farthest parts of the earth, to whom I said, 'You are my servant.' I have chosen you and I do not belittle you." God does not belittle anyone he has created, even if a person experiences that he is without worth, without grace. Even if a person feels that because of my personality, my characteristics, other people do not want me near them. But you are not lost from God. I think that even these summer services are being listened to many who are at home, listening to the radio or listening to the internet. Many who feel alone, feel lonely. We want to, as we have heard in many sermons, we want to remember you and reveal unto you that God has not forgotten you. God does not belittle you. You are one of the beautiful fruits of God's creation work. But for us who are able to move around and act, then God's word instructs us that we should notice others other than those who are our close friends. And God's word says, I will give a few who are close to you to be your escorts. And this group of friends around us is not necessarily very large, but this we know, that to remain in faith, we need escorts. And the apostle joins two important things together. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In other words, this fellowship and this gospel of forgiveness, this cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, is what the apostle is joining. This cleansing gospel, the forgiveness of sins, this echoes from the kingdom of God, and it has been given into the kingdom. When Jesus had arisen, he told his disciples who were afraid, peace be unto you. And he blew upon them and said, take the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And those who you do not forgive, they will not receive forgiveness. This office of forgiveness has been given into God's home. And as in these services, the Apostle Peter has been spoken of. When it says that you have this kingly priesthood, he means all the believers. And before, I said that we are like mission letters. We are messengers. And we have God has given us this right to spread this forgiveness. Then in this text, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The Word of God gives a plain picture of the fall into sin, or the effect of the fall into sin on mankind and on us. Paul says to the letter to the Romans, and speaks of this, Well, I lost my train of thought. But nevertheless, it speaks of what a person is like. There is no one who is good, not one. Everyone has strayed away and have become unacceptable. This is the effect of the fall into sin on man. And Paul says of himself, as we have already heard several times in these services, that good which I want to do, I do not, and that bad which I would not want to do, that I do. Not I, but the sin which dwells in me. And as such, we personally make journey. But the central message of the Word of God is this, that the Son of God redeemed before his Father the sins of all the whole world. Also, this inherited sin which affects in all of us, so that we do not have to remain in this feeling of poorness, and we do not have to remain feeling that it is not possible for me to attain my destination, because Christ has redeemed my sins and your sins, and we can, through this great work of redemption, we can own through faith this. But it is true that our own sinfulness and wretchedness we cannot think that we are not responsible for what we do before God, because God has created us like this. God, when he looked upon all that he had created, said that everything was good. But it was the effect of the enemy of the soul, the devil, which caused the sinfulness in man. But from the seed of the woman came that which crushed the head of the serpent. In other words, Christ has redeemed the sins, all the sins of all of us. But if we say that we have not committed any sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Earlier, it said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we make this journey of life as such, as we journey in this light, it means also this, that we believe our sins forgiven. And it means also that we want to travel as children of the light. This portion of a child of God is such that we have to also we also have to correct our own personal matters. I have sometimes said that when we built a new beautiful RY in our hometown, a place of worship, and then we were wondering how we can keep this new building as nice as it was when we first built it and it was new. There's a danger that things will get broken and it will get dirty. Things will break down. And then when we get used to this, that the walls have gotten dirty or things have broken down, then it seems, well, it doesn't matter if it gets even a little dirtier, if some more things wear out or break down. When we get used to it, then I think in the same way that we should take care of our life of faith, just like we want to take care of the building where we worship in, so that when we notice that some place has broken down or gotten worn out, that we would fix it, so that we would not get used to to things that are on our conscience, so that we would not start thinking, well, it is not so dangerous if we have things on our conscience. This is how sin and burdens can accumulate more and more. We need to be sensitive so that if something comes that we have to take care of, that we could take care of matters. And we perhaps have to, or we need to have to discuss matters spiritually, and we need this grace privilege of confession. We need to use this. In God's kingdom, we can use this great gift that when we have something that has come on our conscience, something that has to be taken care of, that we can speak to someone who is close to us, and we can hear these name sins forgiven. We can experience this cleansing strength of forgiveness. And about confession, Luther teaches us and says, he exhorts us to repent. I exhort you to live as a Christian or a believer. We should use this so that through this we could put away, as the apostle says, all burden and sin which always attaches to us and makes us slow. And so it would not happen that we would become weary in our minds and quit believing this endeavor of faith. If someone has come to these services, into this tent or to this service site, or if someone is listening to the radio or to the internet, someone who experiences that things have attached to me that I should put away, you can, here and now, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. You can also search for a trusted friend who you could talk to about the things that are pressing on your heart, so that this journey would become easier again. I compared it to when we built this place of worship. It may be that every once in a while we need to make a bigger repair on it. And in our life of faith, this may be necessary, but we have possibility to do this. We have possibility to change direction towards the light and towards being a child of light. We can change our direction so that it is going to the destination. But even at this moment, and during these services, you, dear ones who are listening to this word, you can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. And as I have spoken of these, things that pertain to taking care of the life of faith, I have to say that I have been slow. To speak to those who are close to me. And I have been slow to take care of my own matters. And this corruption is very close to me. And I want to ask that, can I also still believe all my sins forgiven? I want to believe. And I want to proclaim this gospel to you, dear fellow travelers, dear brothers and sisters, your sins are forgiven. This gospel is the power of God. That helps us make our journey towards the light. And once when our journey ends, we can reach the homeland shore, and we can say, as Vainuhavas in his familiar hymn, our son will then be the Christ we can rejoice in that on our own portion as sinful people, we are acceptable before God. This righteousness has been prepared for us, and we can live a time and in a place where that this gospel is proclaimed. God has taken good care of his people and still keeps good care of us. Even though the world around us dims and darkens, then in God's kingdom, the brightness of God shines perfectly. This is the kingdom of light. And this people is traveling towards their eternal destination towards heaven. A safe journey to you, dear ones. In Jesus' name, amen.